Physical and emotional needs. Dr. John Gray with us tonight as we talk about Beyond Mars and Venus. We're going to take your calls with him when we return on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Dr. John Gray, PhD with us, Beyond Mars and Venus. And let me read the subtitle, by the way. It's Relationship Skills for Today's Complex World. And it is a very complex world, John, much more than it was back in the 60s, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And if I can analyze it simply put, it's as women move more to activities of independence, self-reliance, education, which is a good thing, it does throw their hormones out of balance. If their testosterone goes up, and it's hard for them to get back to the primary hormone that helps them to relax, which is estrogen. They need 20 times more than men. And it turns out that the more they're on their independent side, the more help they need to come back. And that's kind of the new role that we can play as men, because women don't need us so much for money as they used to. They don't need us for protection. So why do they need us? Because they love us, because they need us. Many women are like, can't even say I need a man. And really what I'm pointing out is in this new world, if women want to be happy and fulfilled, they need the support in their life to come back to their female side. So that creates a new role for men in learning how to help increase estrogen levels in women. Because when women are happy, we're happier.
Is it all about chemicals?
Oh, there's so much of it. Well, behavior, get that. As in the mind, so in the body. As in the body, so in the mind. The behaviors I'm talking about was like, for example, when a woman can talk about her emotions, particularly emotions she normally wouldn't share in public, that's called vulnerability. When she can share that part of her, unmask herself, it produces a huge amount of estrogen, which is normal for women when they're in a place of well-being. If a woman's body doesn't produce the right hormones, she will be overwhelmed, stressed, she'll have PMS, she'll have premenstrual syndrome, she'll have bloating, she'll have indigestion. This is all these problems that women are having today is hormonal imbalance. So when you, what I've done in the book is identified the 12 major behaviors which are stimulate testosterone and the 12 major behaviors that stimulate estrogen and progesterone and oxytocin. These are the female hormones that regulate stress in a woman's body. Women have to understand this for themselves. Otherwise, when they, you know, they're just more stressed and they're unable to appreciate what they have in their life. If they're in a relationship, they're unable to feel love for their partner in a form that appreciates what he does. Rather, it can become rather demanding. It can be irritating for her. She tends to focus on remembering disappointments in the past. Hard to be in present time. And, you know, we have lots of, you know, therapies to help people. But if you look at, like, in therapy counseling, it's 90% is women, and I'm a therapist, and what women do is they come in and they complain.
But 90%?
Yeah, 90% of people who go to therapy are men, are women, not men. And it's because most therapy is designed for women, not men. What you do as a therapist to a great extent is ask questions and listen and ask better questions and then ask questions about how that relates to the past and, you know, how they're feeling. When you can do that, women will start producing huge amounts of estrogen, oxytocin, that will lower their cortisol levels, and they leave the therapy session feeling quite good. Now, what I do as a therapist is I also know that you help them in a behavioral interaction where they feel heard, not trying to solve their problems, but helping to understand them better. If men can just get this, when women talk, try to connect rather than fix. And, you know, all the division that we're experiencing today with Donald Trump, you know, this big conversation, it may be causing some real friction at home. But if the women are over there saying, you know, I want to be on the Women's March, and the husband is going, well, wait a second, you know, Donald Trump has done this and this and this, they get in arguments and fights, rather as what I say is talking about politics. Actually, if a man just lets his wife have her own point of view and hears it and understands it and not argue about it, because what difference does it make? You have to have her agree with your point of view. Talk to your buddies about your point of view if it's different from hers. Give her the support she needs to get back to the female side. Because as a therapist, mostly what women do is complain about their husbands or their life. If they're single, they complain about being alone. If they're married, they complain about their husbands. And when they can complain freely with somebody who can listen without interrupting, without trying to fix, it changes, it brings their hormones back into balance. Now, if men just sit there and complain, it doesn't bring their hormones back into balance and actually makes them more estrogen-oriented. That's why men just don't feel as good after therapy in most cases, so they don't go back.
What about emotion, John? People who cry a lot. Is there something wrong with them?
Well, women if women cry a lot, but they're happy afterwards, then it was a very successful experience. There's two types of tears, and you can even measure them, which is one there's one type of tear that they measure, which is different. You actually feel better afterwards. It's like a release. It's a relief. But for men, if they cry about something big, okay, that's okay. Because when it's a big problem and there's nothing you can do about it, then naturally, if you're feeling powerless, you're going to go over to your female side for a little while and it will feel good. The problem is you don't want to get in the habit of crying about everything, because that weakens your testosterone levels. And crying is only one emotion. Another one is anger. Another one is frustration. Another one is complaining. And, you know, if we look back to what the feminists say is, oh, poor men, look at these horrible rituals they had to go through at puberty, because at puberty, a boy's testosterone levels skyrockets to 10 to 20 times more. And they would do these, you know, horrible things, they call it. And it's not modern, but it's, you know, it's primitive. But you'd go on a vision quest, say, for 7 days, you'd fast and not talk to anybody. That silence, that independence, that self-reliance, that self-analysis during that time is one of the best things for a male. And yet they say, oh, these poor boys, they had to go through that. Now, we have education that can help us to do that now. We don't have to be so extreme about it. But the reason we had these extreme initiations for boys is because we had to teach them not to become too emotional, because they become weak, they become angry, they become aggressive if they get too emotional. And our brains, as males, are not designed that way. Our brains are designed to favor detachment and analysis and problem-solving and calmness and peacefulness. These are cultural things that have been taught to men throughout the ages. And today we have more emphasis on meditation and various things, and too much emphasis on men talking about their feelings, and women are always wanting men to talk about their feelings. It just lowers men's testosterone. But what we have today is a shift, because women don't need men as much. We naturally do go to our female hormones more, and there's a benefit if we can keep them in balance, which it gives us the ability to feel empathy, feel compassion. But if we have negative emotions, we need to back up and come back to the male side. That's why all these rituals about what masculinity is were about, because when men go too far to the female side and the estrogen goes up, they have heart attacks, they have indigestion, their stress levels go up. Any man who has a heart attack, he has low testosterone. Any man with prostate cancer has low testosterone. Hmm. Finally, the medical community agreed with that. It's a different form of testosterone that causes a prostate cancer and prostate swelling. Is when your testosterone levels are low, then your body makes a kind of super testosterone, which has a free radical damage on the prostate. Wow. But always these men have high estrogen levels. It's estrogen that's disastrous to men. And once again, your next guest is going to talk about GMOs. And one of the things about GMOs is in males, it lowers testosterone. We can see today in many parts of the country, particularly in farming areas, boys, but even in the West Coast, boys are going through puberty, which is when their testosterone levels shoot up and then various other changes take place, 2 years later than previous generations. And girls are going through puberty, which is when they start to have their period and they start to get breasts and hips. Their estrogen levels shoot up 10, 20 times. For girls, that's happening 2 years earlier. So there's a sexual maturity, which is now 4 years difference between boys and girls, and that creates a crisis as well.
What about the hormones that they put in cattle and
that as
milk
well.
And stuff
those,
like
those
that?
You eat the meat, it has hormones in it, it goes right in your body. It doesn't, like, disappear because the animal eats it. They give those hormones to the animals in order to make them fat, by the way. One of the functions of estrogen is it stores fat. It's a fat storage hormone. And so they put it in the cows and the meat and the chickens and the pigs and all that so that they get fat. And then you can sell them for more and make more money. But the problem is when you eat that, those hormones go right into your body. They bind with the estrogen receptor sites. So your body thinks you're making more estrogen. And that lowers testosterone in men, and it actually prevents women from producing more healthy estrogen. And it gives a signal to the brain, there's too much estrogen in her body, so she tends to go over to testosterone hormone, do testosterone behaviors, in order to lower that estrogen. So what we have over the last 30 years since we introduced these GMOs and pesticides on such a mass scale is women becoming men and men losing motivation and depression. You know, what is it, 4 times more men commit suicide, 8 times more, I think, later.
It's crazy.
It's crazy, yeah. Difference. And boys today are losing their motivation. You know, in terms of college graduates, we're getting 2 girls to 1 boy. That's disastrous. You know, the life is becoming all out of balance. You know, we get all these government programs helping girls, but we need government programs helping boys, and they're not even looking at that.
What about people, John, who don't want relationships? They just don't think they need it.
Well, you know, I think everybody has a choice in life, but what happens is we see it now in girls as their estrogen levels are dropping. They're not making the estrogen. They're exposed to estrogen. These false estrogens called xenoestrogens that tell the brain you don't need to make estrogen. And these girls no longer feel the need for a relationship. They're on their male side. They just want a job. They want to make money. They want to have their own career. They don't want to depend on a man. The idea of depending on somebody is like weakness. It's like, don't go there. That's a symptom of no femininity. You see, George, we're, you know, anybody who's successful, you know, and happy and fulfilled, and we know each other. You are an example of that. And for me, I'm an example of that. I live what I talk. I have a balance of both the masculine and the feminine. That's what creates creativity, and that's genius, and that's motivation, and that's happiness. It's calmness, it's centeredness. So you got to have this balance inside there. And that's just not happening today in our children. They're way out of whack, way out of balance. And so they're not wanting. Women are kind of saying, why do I need a man? And men are saying, I don't want to make a commitment. You know, commitment is really what marriage is about. And you've got to have strong masculine energy if you're a man to go through the patches where women are like waves. It's one of the Mars-Venus ideas, is they go up and down, up and down. And, you know, to be masculine means to be patient, to understand, you know, to not take it personally. If she's upset, to not go, oh, my God, you know, she's a terrible person because she's upset. And part of my book is to retrain men on what it means to be a feeling, compassionate, emotional being, but at the same time, know how to come back to your masculine side, which is able to allow a woman to go through her ups and downs. And I teach men, our job is not to make a woman happy. We can make her happier, but only in a few days of the month when she's ovulating. We really do have the power to make her happier or make her really unhappy. But at other times of the month, we have the power to create safety for her to go up and down. But women have to learn how to come back up, you know. But what happens is women get upset, they complain, then men start complaining back, and it's like a ping pong match, you know. It just escalates, and that's why you see so much violence in relationships, and aggression, and divorce, and arguments, and fighting. I'm really teaching people the basics of how to not do that, you know. I mean, I've been married 31 years. I know what I'm talking about, you know. And there's times when my wife is, you know, upset, and she's talking, and I start noticing I get defensive. We have code phrases. Our code phrase is, I'll say to her, I hear you. And when I say I hear you, conversation's over.
It's done, yeah.
It's done. You got to have an escape. You can't just, because what happens is once you have a defensive response, either person, if you're defending, what happens is blood flow is going to the fight or flight center in your brain. Your hormones are going out of balance. They're going into another state. And blood flow is stopped to the front part of the brain where you have the capacity to feel empathy, compassion, to be flexible, to be calm, to feel loving. All those good feelings, you cannot biologically even access them when you're in the fight or flight mode. It goes to the back part of the brain. And this is one of the challenges for our soldiers coming back from warfare is, you know, when they're in a war zone, and for people that grew up in a war zone, you know, it has the same effect, is that where you're always feeling danger can happen the next moment. It's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. That keeps you in a fight or flight mode, and it literally shrinks the front part of your brain and increases the back part of your brain.
Physically?
Yeah, physically. You can see the brain changes. When our soldiers come back from Iraq, they started doing the studies on how danger changes the brain. It also creates an addiction to danger. That's why, you know, there's 60 suicides for every soldier that died in Iraq, there's 60 that die from suicide. What happens is you get high stimulation. We talked about this at the beginning of the show, but high dopamine stimulation actually causes injury to the brain. Other people call it brain damage. I know how to heal that injury, you know, but so it comes back. Your body can heal with the right support, but the brain is overstimulated by danger. It's like being on cocaine. Danger stimulates high dopamine stimulation. Some people become addicted to arguing and fighting just because the brain goes, it will create dopamine. Even though you might say, I don't like it, when you're in the moment, you're doing it. And it becomes drama, becomes an addiction to people. Even grieving for some people when they don't have the right nutrition will become addiction. UCLA did studies on grieving parents who lost a child, and they were on antidepressants, they were unhappy their whole lives. To feel happy would be a betrayal, like I don't love my child. They were just unhappy all the time. And they did brain scans, and they saw that when they saw pictures of their children, the same part of the brain, and started to grieve, the same part of their brain lights up as if you were taking heroin. They're literally addicted to grieving. Some people are addicted to arguing and fighting. Our soldiers come back after being in this high dopamine stimulation. Normal life, normal dopamine stimulation is boring. It's lifeless. They're restless. They get on their motorcycles and they do crazy stuff. They create drama. They have aggression. They have extremely promiscuous sex, all kinds of things like that, in order to get a rise of dopamine that's beyond the normal stimulation. And then eventually you create suicide because you're making a mess of your life.
Okay, let's, we're not going to have time for calls. We'll take it in the final half, Joe, when we come back. We'll take the commercial break and come back. Dr. John Gray with us, Beyond Mars and Venus. Are people made to be monogamous?
The back part of our brain is made to be polygamous, okay? And a man, the back part of the brain is designed to have make as many babies as possible. Women are designed not to make as many babies as possible. One a month is their own potential to get pregnant. But men can make, we have so much sperm, we can make many, many women pregnant. We're sort of wandering around making women pregnant. Now, that's the back part of our brain. The middle part of our brain wants to have sex with women we love. That makes it more fulfilling. And the front part of the brain actually sees the logic of being in charge of sex and with a person you're in love with so that you can keep a family together and build a life. But it takes being in the front part of your brain to do that. If you're in the fight or flight part, or if you're not in the love part, what happens is your mind will wander. You won't be satisfied with your partner, and your natural need is to feel alive. You're going to want to stray and wander, and that's why it's happening so much more today. But the reasoning is when you're using the full brain, there's wisdom in being able to create, a monogamous relationship if you can keep the lasting passion, the lasting connection, the fulfillment that can come from really knowing somebody that you're being intimate with. And, I'm a guy, kind of wasn't really aware of that until about 6 years into my marriage. And it was great sex, and I was telling my wife how great it was. And she said, I said it was as good as it was in the beginning. And she said it was much better. And I kind of thought, what is that? Why would you say that? It was, like, fantastic.
As you polish your nails on your finger, right?
Exactly. As I was bending them down. And she said to me, she said, John, in the beginning we didn't really know each other, but now you've seen the best of me and you've seen the worst of me, and you still love me so much. And in that moment I kind of had an epiphany, and I went, yeah, it's the love part that makes it even more special. And I have to say, now being 65 years old and still being able to have regular sex, which is wonderful, with my wife, the love part, it just feels so good.
All right, hold on, John. We will come back and take the calls next. And we're back with Dr. John Gray. His book, Beyond Mars and Venus, his website, marsvenus.com. Let's go to the calls here as they line up for you, Doc. Let's go to Ivan in Bakersfield, California. First-time caller. Ivan, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome.
Yes, I understand that the program today is about food and anxiety, and I know you guys are touching a little bit on the different types of chemicals that affect the body. The question I have for the doctor is, if I have mild gastritis and I have an anxiety problem, what's the best way to go about getting rid of the prescription, like benzos? And I'm trying to eat as much GMO, non-GMO products as I can. And I'm sorry if the phone cuts off, but
okay, we get your drift as well. I think you want to go back to your lithium again on something like that, John.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you could very safely go with two super minerals, which have the cofactors of lithium that work with lithium orotate. along with two lithiums a day. So you get two super minerals and two lithiums in the morning and two before dinner of both those things. And you won't need to go on benzos. Benzos are horrible. It's really horrible to go off of that. You know, these are drugs that are really difficult to get off of.
And by the way, let me say, John, that everybody, if you're on drugs, deal with your doctor if you want to get off them. Don't you cut yourself cold turkey.
No, you know, if you're on drugs, you can't go cold turkey. But I will talk about, there's something, everybody who's been going off of a drug, this is how you can naturally heal it. You basically, I talked about the protein shakes and the super minerals and the gut healing. That's going to heal the condition. But you can actually free yourself of the addiction by something called IV drips of NAD. Brain restoration. There's other places around the country that do these IV drips for 10 days, and for most insurance will cover it. And it will, it's not just psychological. It will free your body from that craving. It will restore normal dopamine function. But you've got to have the follow-up of good diet and good behavior and so forth for it all to work.
Yeah, you have to do that. Yeah. What's the main message, John, you want people to bring away from the book Beyond Mars and Venus?
New relationship skills are necessary. People are not making commitments. People are not satisfied in their marriages. It's because our expectations have changed. Our daily behaviors have changed. And it's like really women are going through a major crisis of inability to be happy. They're stressed and they're overwhelmed. It all has to do with shifting back to new ways of communicating with your partner and new ways to create romance in your relationship. It doesn't have to be expensive, doesn't have to be fancy, but to understand what it means. Most men really don't understand how to provide that. Women don't know how to ask for it. Women don't know the damaging effects of complaining, and men don't know the damaging effects of complaining back, and how you can learn to ask for help without having to complain, and how you can be patient and not try to change your partner. If I could summarize the book in four steps, it's learn that when you're not getting what you want in your life or in your relationships, stop trying to change your life and your relationships, step one, and shift to changing who you are in terms of how you're living your life, how you're feeling, what your hormone balance is. You can come back into hormonal balance without having to change anything outside of you, but you shift to feeling good within yourself. Then in a relationship, you practice giving more of what your partner needs. When you're wanting more, don't ask for more. Practice to give more of what your partner needs, but from a place of feeling good inside yourself. So step one is stop blaming your partner. Stop trying to change your partner. Step two is change yourself to come back to feeling good. Step three is give to your partner what you need. And it's identifying what activities stimulate the right hormones in your partner. And then step four is they will start giving you more of what you need. For example, women listening, if you go for 2 weeks without complaining about your partner and focus on just appreciating what he does right without asking for more, you'll see how his testosterone will go up. He'll change his behavior. He'll be more loving. That doesn't mean you can't get more and more, but it means you have to do the precursors for it. But it's really hard to not complain or feel these inner complaints and irritations and annoyances when your hormones are out of balance. You have to learn how to do that. For women, I teach them a whole thing about every day of the month, how their hormones shift and their needs. The needs in the first 12 days after their period is completely different from the progesterone stimulation that needs to occur during the next 12 days. So it's a little bit scientific, but not too complicated. But it gives us an understanding of how the body's operating to support positive feelings, and also in relationships, how to get more. And, you know, women say, I finally have hope, you know, to get what I want. And men go, I can make a commitment because I know that I have the power to support her and being a happy woman, and that's what I want.
Next up, let's go to Joe in Long Island, New York, east of the Rockies. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Yeah, John. The dating crowd, how do people pivot when necessary, you know, and then for the people that are already in a relationship, yet they're seeing their spouse or partner in a new context or another context, usually that's positive, but sometimes that can be negative. Like people go on a honeymoon and all of a sudden they don't want each other anymore, you know, why or something, you know.
Well, that's very, very common. And it used to be, if you go back 50 years to hundreds of years, everybody knew that after the honeymoon period, which could be 3 months to a couple of years, all the interest in romance went away. So you never got married based upon romantic attraction. But people today want romantic attraction. We see it in the movies. We hear about it. It is possible to sustain it, but we have to learn these new relationship skills to do it. Just like if, you know, you want to be successful in your business, you got to upgrade some of your marketing skills, your computer skills, and whatever. It's shift is necessary. And in the dating process also, you know, women have been taught, you know, on a date, just ask lots of questions and be a good listener. Actually, it's just the opposite. You don't want to be more intimate with somebody who can't listen to you and become interested in your mind and your heart first. There's always going to be the physical attraction if he's asked you out. So don't rush into the physical stuff until you've been heard. And actually, men appreciate that. If a woman can talk and share, it gives him something to connect to. He feels kind of nervous and put on the spot. He's not going to have a lot to say. Or you could ask him lots of questions. He'll get into himself, but he won't bond with her. So these are some new dating skills as well that I talk about. And, you know, why men don't call back and all that stuff. And, you know, how much should women initiate the dates? All this is changing as men and women are shifting to becoming really more authentic, because every man, every woman has a male and female side. But you don't want to go too far to your female if you're a man. You don't want to go too far to your male if you're a woman. You always want to keep finding that balance.
How come people play games, John? You know, don't call somebody and they call you. You call them, they back off.
Well, those games are all from the past, and you know, we call them games today because they're not authentic. But there was a time in the past when they were very useful strategies. For example, when a woman gets really close with a guy, the hormone oxytocin will increase, and that causes her to feel an attachment to him, kind of a neediness. But for him, too much oxytocin lowers his testosterone, so he has to detach. So he'll tend to get close and then pull away. If while he's pulling away, she gets needy and starts pursuing him, it can keep pushing him away. Now, that's the old thing, so play hard to get, women. You know, don't just run after him like that. But it was like following behaviors. What I'm saying to women is when you feel that neediness, stop looking to a man and look to the rest of your life. Part of our neurosis is the kind of drug addiction, the high we get from sexual attraction is a major dopamine stimulator. You can just sort of go for that and forget all the other sources of happiness in your life that don't make that high of dopamine, but they're like important. There are other parts of your life. So when you start feeling needy when he pulls away, women, don't call him, don't go after him at those times, but don't punish him when he calls you back and say, why didn't you call and where'd you go and whatever. Just as you feel more attached, he does feel a greater sense of detachment in various degrees. And that's for him to come back to the rest of his life. She needs to come back to the rest of her life so her life is in balance. So there was some old wisdom in those games. But see, today we need to follow more what's true in our heart. And I'm just pointing out to women that when you're needy, what's true in your heart is that there's a dysfunction going on where you're feeling like you need him more than everything else in your life. And that's your insecurity, and you need to work on finding balance in your life. And once again, a lot of women, this whole thing we're about to get into tonight with these GMOs, with all these pesticides, they bind with the receptor sites, and that makes the body think that the estrogen levels are really high. And so many women aren't even feeling their need for men the way they used to. They go way to their male side, and then when they have a romantic attraction, then very quickly the pendulum kind of swings in the opposite direction, and they become overly needy. So we want to come back more into balance so we don't have these extremes.
Let's go to Stacy in Massachusetts. Stacy, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, I have two questions.
Sure.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
One is, John, you said that therapy is designed more for women 90% of the time and not men. So why do men internalize things and stuff things more? And also, years ago when I was married and my husband and I had an argument, he wanted me to be intimate after, and I was not in the mood to be intimate, but some people have no problem after an argument being intimate. So why is that?
Okay, and what was your first question? We had trouble hearing you on that one.
Why John said that 90% of therapy is designed for women, why not men, and why do men stuff things more than want to talk about things?
Okay, so this is an illusion. Thank you for your question, by the way. This is what my book helps to understand. If you go to a psychology class at universities, they'll all say, oh, men, they're all messed up, you know, they're all terrible, they're aggressive, they're bad guys because they're always suppressing their feelings. and culture has told them, don't cry, don't have feelings, always be fearless, always be confident, you know. And the reality is culture did teach men about being men. I'm teaching men about being men. Stop complaining so much. Stop whimpering so much. Start taking more risks. Start making commitments. You know, this. It's not that men suppress more. It's if you look at when we're under stress, men naturally detach. They don't have those emotions unless their hormones are out of balance. In order to react fast, men have way faster reaction. That's what testosterone does as warriors, as hunters, as problem solvers, emergency workers. It's a natural, healthy reaction for men to detach. It's unhealthy to get men to practice getting all emotional. But for women, it's a very important practice to get in touch with your emotions. So as psychologists, they're just studying women primarily, not men. And with the women are coming in, and whenever women are stressed, women are stuffing emotions. And some women don't even know they're stuffing emotions. So that's what's going on with women. Then what happens is when women do erupt and express those emotions, when men get defensive, then they go out of balance. And suddenly there's a flood of emotion that men have as the blood flow leaves the front part of the brain. But detachment is something very, very important for men to develop. If you look at Buddhism, for example, it was all teaching men how to be detached. You know, all this cultural conditioning is teaching men how to be detached so you can, whenever you're distressed or stressed, you detach. Then you come back to your emotions in a balanced place. It's not like you completely deny your emotions. So the bottom line is men don't suppress emotions nearly as much as women. And the reason they don't go to therapy is because therapists are always trying to get them in touch with their emotions. And it actually over time weakens men if they do it too much. Now, if you've just had a huge loss, it's appropriate for you to have that emotional catharsis. There will be a strong... See, what happens when men lose confidence and there's a big challenge, as testosterone turns to estrogen, he will have a big rush of emotion, so therefore he shouldn't suppress it. But to encourage men to start expressing feelings about everything, they become wimps, they become babies. And women are telling me, they're the ones who are saying it. They're saying, you know, I feel like I'm his mother, I have to nag him and whatever. And this is also the next thing she was talking about. The next question is, a guy can express anger, and it kind of like releases that estrogen, but then afterwards, because it does sort of get him in the fight mode, it can now create testosterone temporarily to create sex drive to find balance. His estrogen went up, now he wants to have sex. So men sometimes after a good fight can be all turned on, but women are like shut down, particularly if it happens several times, because the number one thing for estrogen, which is where women feel arousal and excitement, is estrogen and oxytocin, is she has to feel safe. Safety is what creates arousal in women. Danger creates arousal in men. It's when you feel like you're confident and you're in danger, that's an arousing thing for men. And we now know the biology of this is that when men are in the hero mode of saving the day, another hormone gets produced, which is called vasopressin. And when women are in the mode of feeling like they can depend on someone and someone help them or save them, oxytocin skyrocks, which lowers her testosterone, increases her estrogen, and that creates arousal and bonding in her. Now, flip that around. When women are the rescuer, vasopressin increases in her, and she feels like a mother with no sexual attraction. So the hormone that allows men to feel sexual attraction, vasopressin, when a woman creates vasopressin due to being in the fixer mode, saving mode, in charge mode, leadership mode, she feels no sexual attraction.
How many different hormones do we have?
We got a lot. We got
a
lot.
And
gosh. This book explains them. I mean, it's mind-blowing.
It's a great book.
I covered them all tonight. There are not that many major ones.
Great book indeed. You should have been in the movie Analyze This.
That's what I'm a good analyzer.
You,
by the way,
really are.
Analyzing is
but a lot of stress.
Analyzing is what makes testosterone. It's one of the best things. If you go back to Freud, who was the opposite of modern therapy today, it's called analysis, and mainly men went. Rich men who were experiencing anxiety in their life and lack of libido would go to him, and they would analyze. They'd go into a dark room, no eye contact, lie on a couch, and have somebody sitting behind you asking you questions to analyze, but never, you know, empathizing and asking questions about your feelings. It was a whole different system then for men. Then it's now become this thing for women, which is good. They're both good. Analysis and sharing feelings, two different sides of us.
Eddie in Lubbock, Texas. Welcome to the show. Eddie, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a question for the doctor.
Okay.
I believe in the Christian faith, and I see it as you know, self-rejection and self-control. So how can a female be held responsible for their emotional, crazy, you know, mood swings and so forth within the Christian faith?
Well, the Christian faith is to cherish your wife. I mean, Jesus was totally into cherish women. Think about something, what the word cherish means. It means to protect. It means to honor. It means to care for. It's like, you know, I remember a fun example is when I went home to my mother when I, you know, had success, I could help my mom out. And I said, Mom, let me redo your kitchen. Look at these plates, these plastic plates. You should have nice plates. And she said, oh, you know, I had six boys. When you have six boys, you don't have nice plates. You have paper. You have plastic.
Plastic and paper.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But women, you know, you have to be more delicate with them. Now, women today, they might take offense at that because they're so shut down to their femininity. They're tough. Toughness is a quality of masculinity. Sensitivity is a quality of femininity. And men are way too sensitive today. And how do you know you're too sensitive? Is your wife's upset with you and you get upset back. Men take everything personally now. They're like wimps. They're babies. They're crybabies. But when a woman does that, if you don't say anything, see, you don't try to fix her, don't judge her. What did Jesus say? He said, judge not or you shall be judged. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. But you see, it's easy to give up judgments of women when you understand how you contribute to their upsets. You know, you think they're crazy, but you make them crazy by trying to fix them. You know, she'll be upset. She'll say, oh, my God, I'm so upset about this and this and this. And you'll say, well, that's nothing. That's no big deal. Don't worry about it. You should just do this and this and this. You know, she's saying there's so much traffic. Well, you're the one who wanted to move here. Or there's so much traffic. Well, you should take the other freeway. What route did you take? That's logical. That's masculine. That's good to do when you're having a non-stressful conversation. But when a woman is stressed, you cannot be logical with her. You just want to ask questions so she feels heard and she sorts it out. And ironically, women today, because they're so on their male side, they need that help more than ever to come back to this non-rational female side of them, which is loving and cooperative and nurturing and vulnerable and sensitive. These are all female qualities that women are missing today. And Jesus, he basically said, judge not. And he also said, cherish them, cherish them. And when you cherish them, women will respect you. But you've got to give them what they need. And that's the book.
You got it. Dr. John Gray, Beyond Mars and Venus. John, once again, thanks for being on the program. I will be back in moments.